Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Last week, we taught on long suffering, right? Long suffering. That is the fruit of God's Spirit. That's one of the fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, long suffering. Long suffering and patience are different. A lot of times people think they're synonymous, but in the Bible, they're different. Long suffering is always towards people. So we're to be long suffering towards people. Patience is always towards circumstances and conditions. So long-suffering is the fruit of God's Spirit. Now, long-suffering, all right? In Colossians 3:12, it says that we are to put on, I'm just recapping here for a moment, we are to put on long-suffering. Put it on. Just like you put your clothes on this morning, you're to put this on, long-suffering. This long-suffering says, I'm in it to win it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not giving up. What I'm loving, I am going to be long-suffering towards that, and I am not going to quit. I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to quit. I'm hanging in there with this person, because long-suffering is always towards people, always towards people. And this is where the church falls short. That's why we're not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we're going to put up with a whole lot more. Anytime you're being challenged in that area, God's trying to develop something in you. See, that's really what's taking place. God is trying to develop something inside of you. It's not come to make you miserable or discouraged. It's come to develop something inside of you. That's where the Holy Spirit resides in you if you're a believer. So that's the idea. And so that's what the fruit is going to come out of you. Long-suffering. And you know what it does when you exercise this? It gives you peace and takes away anxiety and keeps frustration out of your life. You just know, I'm just going to bear this. I'm learning and God's teaching me something. And you go back to God and you say, God, what are you trying to teach me? And you may pray for that person, and God may speak to you and say, you know, that person had a very difficult life and they don't understand a lot of the things you understand. And I'm trying to help you understand them more to show them some love and kindness. You see that? And that's long suffering towards them. And then that is fruit that tastes sweet. You see, you can be kind, you can be kind towards that person instead of retaliating and getting a toed and you know, going silent on them for a month, right? So long suffering is always towards people. All right. Now, just as much a choice as it is for you to walk in your clothes, if you don't choose to put this fruit on, you won't do it. You will get an attitude and you will not exercise this. Your flesh does not want to do this. This is only by the Holy Spirit. Long-suffering is so different than our flesh, which gets easily angered, blows up, loses its temper, says things that it later regrets, and doesn't want to give the same mercy that it demands from others. Our flesh doesn't ever want to give mercy that we always demand that others give us. And see, the Holy Spirit changes that around. It gives mercy when you don't deserve it. That's what the Holy Spirit's up to. Parents need to be long-suffering towards their children. Teachers need to be long-suffering with their students. Spouses need to be long-suffering with their spouses. Friends towards friends. And we also need to be long-suffering with ourselves. With ourselves. Too many times we give up on ourselves. And we blow off. And you know what? Then we abort what the Holy Spirit was trying to birth and produce in your life. That's what happens. We abort that and we give it up on it. We give up on it and we miss it. God is trying to get you to be you. God wants you to become the real you. See, the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us into all truth. See, he wants you to be the authentic you, the real you. And that when you pay attention to the Holy Spirit in you, that's you. That's that he's trying to get you out of there. He wants you to come out of there and become that. And that's what he's doing. You know, there's a saying, as I was praying this morning, I got a quote this week and it came up in me while I was praying for the church and praying. And it goes like this. Become who you are, not the person you've allowed yourself to be. You see, what that saying is, the person you've allowed yourself to be is much less than what God made you to be. And a lot of times we give up and we give in to much less potential than what God has created us for. Am I making sense? Love always produces more potential and it always produces you. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to bring out the real you. And when we pay attention to that, we're becoming the real us. And that's why the fruit, when we're bearing that fruit, hey, I'm being me. I'm just being me. And you know what? That's where the power is. It comes in putting up with stuff from other people. And when you begin to do that, now you got some power. Now watch this. If you don't allow long-suffering to work in you, you will end up frustrated with everyone all the time, including yourself. We must decide to let the Holy Spirit supernaturally produce long-suffering in us today. See, this is supernatural. Remember, super means above, above the natural. It's not natural to act this way, but you're supernatural beings. You're created in the image of God, and God is a spirit, the Bible says. You are a supernatural being. We're to live above the natural. That's what the Holy Spirit calls us to live above the natural. We will be more tolerant of others, more peaceful within, and a lot more loving toward those whom we love and need the most when we operate in long suffering. Folks, this is where the power is. Let's start exercising a little bit of long suffering, right? I heard a story this week about a guy that he read a book. He read this book about how to be the man of his house. It wasn't real biblical, but he read this book about how to be the man of his house. So he gave it to his wife to read. So she's read it, you know, and he goes, now that you've read the book, I want you to, you know, fix my favorite meal. You know, I'm the man in the house. So she fixed his favorite meal and fixed it all up. Then he says, I want my favorite dessert right behind it. You know what I like? You know what I like. That's all you know. So she does that. He goes, well, now I want you to draw me a bath. I'm going to take a bath and I want you to give me a bath. Well, she does all that. While he's taking a bath, while she's giving him a bath, he goes, now guess who's going to dress me after my bath? She goes, the funeral director. Some of you aren't laughing. I thought it was pretty funny. There's not any long suffering in that, is there? But, you know, folks, I'll tell you what. When we get this, and we understand it, it will change our world. And when you're in touch with the Holy Spirit. Now today we're going to talk about gentleness and we're going to talk about kindness. And those are the two fruit that we're going to talk about today. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put two fruit together. I'm going to put kindness and gentleness together because they're very similar. And so they're similar, and I just want you to see them, and this is what we're going to talk about today. Gentleness. We're going to look at gentleness first. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. This is the Greek word for gentleness. Christos, Christotes. That's the Greek word. So we have to look at the Greek in order to get the full meaning of the words because our English language doesn't give you the picture and a real true understanding of what it says. So gentleness, this is what it means. To show kindness or to be friendly to others. And it often depicted rulers, governors, and people in authority positions. So in other words, we're to be kind and gentle towards people in authority. We're to exercise this gentleness in people who are over us. That's part of the idea. And so, and this is the other meaning. Now get a hold of this, gentleness. The ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. That's what gentleness means. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you and you tap into gentleness, you have the ability to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings around you. You see that? You see how we're going to have to learn to grow in this? We're going to have to learn to be more in touch with the Holy Spirit. Because, folks, the enemy is trying to take circumstances and things around you to keep you from producing this fruit of gentleness. Because gentleness has power. Paul said this. He said, rejoice in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, Paul said that with guards breathing down his neck, chains around his hands, and chains on his feet. For preaching the gospel, for preaching the good news of the gospel. He was put in prison for nothing more than preaching the gospel. And he's got guards breathing down his neck, and this is what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. So that's what Paul is saying. So I would say Paul was in a pretty difficult situation, wouldn't you? Is that what you all would say if you were in that position? Rejoice in the Lord. But you know what? That's what God is trying to get us to, a place. No matter how difficult it is out here, we can rejoice because of what's in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Folks, this is power. So what Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let the ability in you to be undisturbed, regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings, be made known to everybody that the Lord is at hand in me. Are you with me? You see, that's what that means. God is ruling up in here, not my circumstances, not who's breathing down my neck, not what's going on out here. God is ruling up in here. You see that? That's power. That's power. And folks, listen to me. If marriages and families and businesses would understand this, but you see, you got to start it somewhere. And folks, we can do it. This is the Holy Spirit working in His people. But when we get an attitude and we get negative and we respond and we retaliate, that doesn't produce anything. The Holy Spirit is nowhere in that. And see, we are aborting what God is trying to do in us. But if we'll respond with that, then we get the maturity. We get the growth. We get it. And then we get to give it to other people. And then we become influential. You see that? We become influential. And now watch this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said this. He said, I'm pleading with you. I am pleading and begging with you. I'm pleading that you'll walk in meekness and the gentleness of Christ. You see that? The gentleness of Christ. Why? Because of all the stuff that was going on in the Corinthian church. And he's wanting you and I to walk in the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. To be undisturbed regardless of our uncomfortable surroundings. And then he says, though we walk in the flesh, we're walking around in the flesh, aren't we? 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. In other words, our battle, our real battle, is not the people breathing down our neck and the people that are, we think that are causing us the problems. It's the enemy in the spiritual realm. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not physical, but they're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, when you operate in gentleness, you're obeying Christ. You're obeying Him, and that's giving you power in the midst of a negative environment, a negative circumstance. You see that? And those strongholds, you know what the word strongholds taken from? The word echo. That's what the word stronghold means. Echo. Whatever's echoing in your mind becomes a stronghold, and it keeps you from operating in gentleness. It keeps you from producing the fruit of gentleness. Do you see this? Because, folks, when we see this and we tap into this, this changes things. This begins to change things, and it also changes you. I'll tell you what, folks, this is it. This is what the Holy Spirit is up to. It's not this blow off and get a temper and well, my dad had a temper, my mom, it doesn't matter what they had. The Holy Spirit is trying to do something in you. My dad, you know, he got mad, he got upset. Well, it don't matter. Well, you hold a grudge because I hold, no, it doesn't matter. Hold all that stuff, no. The Holy Spirit is working and trying to get you to be the real you. All right. When gentleness is applied to interhuman relationships, it conveys the idea of being adaptable to others, rather than harshly requiring everyone else to adapt to your own needs and desires. Paul said, I became as a Jew that I might gain Jews, that I might win some. In 1 Corinthians 9:20, he said, I became weak that I might win the weak. You see that? So in other words, he was adapting himself to the people, and he would win those people in that way. I'm not saying you go to the bar and you just start slopping it up. Boy, I'm trying to win. No. That's not what we're saying. Don't be stupid, right? Well, you said stupid in church. No, don't we? Sometimes we do some things that are stupid, don't we? Anybody ever do anything stupid? So the idea is you be sensitive, and God will begin to show you. And the idea is you're not trying to get them to come to your way. You're trying to figure out their need and serve them. And that's power. That's what will win them. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some, Paul said in Galatians 9:22. When the Holy Spirit is producing gentleness in you, you'll hear yourself thinking and saying, how can I be different for this person? What can I do different to help this person that's being cantankerous, that's being ornery, that's being meaner than a snake that makes you want to spit? How can I serve this person? You see this? That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And when you are sensitive to that, it releases power in your life. I'm telling you, folks, this is the way the Holy Spirit is working. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you get an attitude and it shows up on your face, you're not producing anything. People don't want that. And I'm going to tell you what, and nobody wants that. You get an attitude, it shows up all over your countenance. It's revealed. But if you stay in gentleness, you can continue to give them fruit. And they're gonna want it. They may not even tell you, but they like being around you. This is the Holy Spirit. This isn't our flesh. All right. Is there any way I can change that will help you? Look at that in a marriage. We're always trying to change our partners, right? What if God is trying to change me? Look at your neighbor and say, you got some gentleness? Say, I need some. Look at your other neighbor and say, is there anything I can do better for you? And now I want you to say this. Listen up. I want you to say, how can I serve you and meet your needs more effectively? Say that to your neighbor. Meet your needs more effectively. Folks, listen to me. That's really how it ought to be. See, we're to love people in general this way, not just our spouse, not just our kids, not just our brothers and sisters, even the unbelievers, the evil. We're to love them this way. Now, this is rich. It is supernatural work of God when we become adaptable to meet the needs of others around us. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation, coming in the likeness of man and being found in the form of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient. Because he was obedient to God in the midst of all that was going on around him, didn't care about his reputation, he just continued to serve people and meet their needs. Now, and then he served the guards that put him on the cross. Father, love them, for they forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now we're all here because of his obedience. And the churches are all over the world taking place right now because of his obedience. You know what? When you're obedient and you produce the fruit of God's Spirit, you start to influence people. And people begin to want what you have. People are moved by what you have, because you stand out. It's not natural to operate like this. It's above the natural. And that's where the power is. Now, look at this. Kindness is the next one. Are you ready? Kindness. This is the Greek word. It's much like the word gentleness, but now here it is. C-H-R-E-S-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. Don't ask me to pronounce it. That's the Greek word. But this is what it means. To be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. That's what it means. To be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. When agape kindness, the love of God, the kindness of God, is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Instead, agape kindness makes you want to bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. That's good stuff. Well, I don't want to hear that. Our flesh doesn't like to hear that. This kindness portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. This is totally opposite of selfishness and self-centeredness. That is the problem in America, in our world today, is selfishness and self-centeredness. And that's why we don't want to hear this stuff sometimes, because we're too selfish and we're too focused on ourselves. But when we get it, then we begin to be focused on others. We're to be focused on God and others. That's why Paul said, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than yourself. You see, when we begin to walk in that, folks, now that's power in us. That's power in you. That's real power. And folks, you can't do that without a relationship with God. You can't do that without being in touch with the Holy Spirit. And when you are, it changes you. And it changes your world. Love is kind. The whole kindness is this fruit. Kindness, you know what? Kindness is not here. Well, they're kind. They're being kind to me. I'm going to be kind to them. That's not kindness. It's only God's kindness when they're being cantankerous, difficult, and negative towards me, and I respond with kindness. That's God's kindness. It's never God's kindness when you return kindness for being kind. That's not God's kindness. That's not what he's talking about here. He's only talking about the kindness of God is when you serve them when they're being treating you wrong. That's the only time you're operating in God's kindness. So everybody's been doing that, right? Everybody walking in that? I'm glad you all got it. Because see, folks, this is really where the power is. Now look at this. Go with me to Luke 6, 35. But love your enemies, agape love is fruit of the love, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Sometimes you hold a grudge because people never paid you back. You got to let it go. Say, let it go. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Now look at this. For he is what? What? Kind to the unthankful and the evil. You see, we're to treat unbelievers, whoever it is, No matter how we're to treat them with this kindness. When you operate in this, it doesn't matter how they're treating you. You just serve kindness. You don't say, well, that's not fair. How many times have you ever heard that? Well, that's not fair. That's not kingdom language. You need to just never let that even come out of your mouth. Because here's what fair is. Fair is, I'm going to give you back what you gave me. And you see, God calls us to give back better than what's been given to us. Did you catch that? Fair is, I'm going to give you what you gave me. All that does is divide and separate. That's why marriages fall apart today. Well, they weren't ever fair. There's no such thing as being fair in the kingdom of God. And marriage is a divine institution. I'm not just talking about marriages today, but this is where we really need to exercise this. This is with people in general. If we exercise this, folks, you're protected. This will bring out what you're looking for. What you're really looking for, this is the kind of thing that brings it out. Right here. You start operating in this, I'm going to tell you what, you can't treat somebody that way unless you're going to God and praying for them and really loving them. You can't love your enemies. You're going to always retaliate. You're going to always want to get somebody back. You're going to always demand that someone be fair. But when you get beyond that, now your life's going to change and you're going to be effective. What if Jesus said, that's not fair? None of us would be here. We must ask ourselves, do I become what others need me to be? Or do I demand that others be like me? Real agape kindness doesn't think of itself first. Instead, it is always reaching out, thinking and focusing primarily on the needs of others. The person walking in agape kindness adapts to those around him in order to help them and impact them in a meaningful way. You see, when you really are walking in kindness, you're aware of it wherever you go. You're aware of it all the time. You know, you're aware of it in the grocery store. You know, I had two items in my hand the other day, and I was going as a Kroger's. And, you know, I don't like to go through the computer thing where you wave it and everything. So, because there was a bunch of people there. So I was going up to this line, and this lady had a big full cart. You know, right in front of me, I mean, packed up high, and I got two items. I said, okay. So I just, you know, I really did. I just gave her some kindness. I did. I started talking to her and just was kind. Now, I'm telling you the truth. This is where it shows up in our everyday life. Is this making sense? Now, I could have got me a toot because I was kind of in a hurry. Huh? I was in a hurry. I needed to get moving. But I had to wait on all her stuff and her talking and writing her check and you know, helping to bag and just, you know. But I'm just saying, I had it working inside of me. I'm telling you the truth. Do I do that all the time? I'm not saying I do it all the time. But it was working that day. It was working that day. And when it works, man, you feel good. Because it didn't get you. But you see, that's the way the enemy's always trying to do. And you know, I'm not blaming everything on the enemy and I'm not being spooky. But the enemy is always trying to get you to not operate in the fruit of the Spirit. That's why you got to always be in touch with the Holy Spirit. To produce this fruit, you need to be continuous, where moment by moment, be in touch with the Holy Spirit.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.